It's a dark, cold night the week before Christmas in Ambler, Pennsylvania, where we join our two co-hosts preparing for another Crispy Noodle Christmas special. The ground outside is wet with melted snow, the second of the year, a rarity in southeastern Pennsylvania this early in the winter. But inside, the atmosphere is decidedly warmer as Richard Liebig and Michael Costanzo butt heads over the topics for their holiday episode.
It's the perfect discussion topic. Not only that, but the geopolitical standoff in the Baltic border states will undoubtedly have a far-reaching implications in the entertainment world.
I'm telling you, the better story is how the PGA modified Rule 13, Section 2, Subsection B regarding the flagpole being made precisely of a 50% plastic polymer blend. 50%, Mike!
This carried on for some time. Back and forth, like the sawing of a Christmas tree trunk nearing its breaking point. Let's take a listen.
You know what? Let's just move on to the odd news, okay? I'm thinking we could do one story each, our favorite story of the year, and we'll just rerun those.
Or we could just do the 16 stories that I just pulled.
16? Rich, there's no time. We have parody songs and other stuff.
Well, two isn't nearly enough.
16 is too many. We should only have two.
16!
Two!
16!
Rich, sometimes, oh my God, you just make me... You make me wanna...
You're a mean one, Mr. Rich. You don't like Spider-Man. You're as loudly as an air horn. You can't even get a tan, Mr. Rich. You're a bad gambler with no game plan.
You're a monster, Mr. Mike. You like the Lord of the Rings. Your voice is so monotonous, you can't even pick football wins, Mr. Mike. Look, I really hate to tell you, but people hate it when you sing.
You're a vile one, Mr. Rich. You think 80s movies are good. You have the sheer craziness of a three-eyed drunk, you see, Mr. Rich. Given the choice between the two of you, actually, I think I'd take neither one of you.
You're a foul one, Mr. Mike. You're a wannabe punk. You have no respect for golf. Your taste in music really flunks, Mr. Mike. The three words that best describe your many verbal miscues are, I quote, tongue tied thunk.
You're way too loud. Noodle guys, you're such a pain in the ass. The night is getting late and you need to start recording, Noodle guys.
Your show is an appalling dump heap, overflowing with the most disgraceful assortment of deplorable rubbish imaginable, mangled up in tangled up knots.
We should have probably do the show.
Yeah, I think that's a good call.
You've tuned into the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
Do you realize what you've done?
With Rich Liebig.
Aren't you hip to the rap music?
And Michael Costanzo.
The internet was speaking to me in tongues.
Unplanned, unscripted, and slightly unhinged.
Good times, noodle salad.
The point is, you now have the ability to be happy.
And now, here's Rich and Mike on the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
Woo! What's up, everybody?
It's time for the Christmas episode of the Crispy Noodle Podcast. Merry Christmas. Happy holidays.
Merry Christmas.
Man, thank you guys for tuning in. This week, a very special episode we have to present for you in honor of the holidays. We're feeling the holiday spirit. This is the Crispy Noodle Podcast. Let us be the Crispy Noodle in your vegetarian salad of life and boring news. I'm Rich Liebig.
I'm Michael Costanzo.
And we're going to bring you some topics in sports, entertainment, and odd news, but, you know, a little bit of a Christmas flair. And, you know, just kind of taking it easy.
That's right.
We're kind of enjoying, it's like a semi-vacation for us.
Yeah.
You know?
But we still have plenty of surprises in store.
Oh, yeah.
You know, we always bring everything to you with our unique sense of humor and wackiness. So you never know what you're going to get.
That's right.
Especially on this episode. I love the special episodes.
Yeah. I love these holiday episodes. Before we get into the sports news and the entertainment news that we do want to give you, Mike, what are you up to? How's your Christmas week going?
It's going very busy.
Yes,
of course. That is the answer that everyone across the country is saying right now. Let's see. What have I been up to? We had a big family gathering. We made tzipoli, which is fried.
That's a surprise.
Fried bread dough. I know. It's like, oh, what are you doing? Oh, I'm eating food at my aunt's house. 7 out of 10 times. That's usually where I am. So we did that. I've been doing a lot of Christmas shopping. The wallet's feeling it. It's crying a little bit. I'm saying, wallet, come on, buck up. You got to do it.
Yeah, it's all for, you know, good reasons.
I love it. I love giving gifts. I love the joy of gift giving. It's a lot of fun picking out a good gift for people. It's just very expensive. And you know what I found this year is that I went to a bunch of stores and I'm walking around, I'm like, this is crap. All this stuff is crap. I hate this stuff. I go home, look up that same crap on Amazon, and I buy it for cheaper.
Yeah, Amazon.
Like, there's no point in going out actual shopping. Like, I went to Barnes & Noble to try and find my brother. He's not going to listen to this, so it doesn't matter. So I'm trying to find him some...
Actually, on a side note, your brother's away.
That's right. Yeah, the real big news is that JB's in California.
Yeah.
Living the
L.A. lifestyle.
L.A. lifestyle.
Our assistant producer.
He saw Draco Malfoy in L.A.
No kidding.
Yeah, and Salma Hayek.
I know some girls that would be insanely jealous of him right now.
Yeah.
Tom...
I don't remember his name.
Oh, I forgot his last name. Tom...
Tom Malfoy.
Tom Malfoy. Yes, of course.
I feel like when you play a character like that, you become your character. Like, that's all people know you for.
Yeah, so there you go. He just became Tom Malfoy.
He just became Tom Malfoy.
Yeah, whoops.
Yeah, so he saw Draco Malfoy. He didn't bother him because he said he was with his family and, you know, he didn't want to get involved there. But it must be so exciting being in L.A.
Tom Felton.
That's his Felton. There you go.
Tom Felton.
That sounds familiar once you say it.
We just lost our Harry Potter cards.
I got to watch the whole series and read the whole series over again. maybe that's what I'll do over the break. But right now, before I say the break, like I'm still in college, before the holiday, when you work and live in education for so long, it's tough. Maybe that's what I'll do over my holiday. Because leading up to it, it's just been shopping, it's been family get-togethers, it's been crazy. I had, like, a little bit of time to watch A Christmas Story live.
Oh, that's right. You were looking forward to that.
I was really looking forward to it. I didn't get through all of it. I got through about two-thirds of it because it was such a long program. It's 3 hours long.
That seems a little excessive.
I think it was a little excessive. They had commercials in it, too, so it just broke up the whole flow of it. Like, it's like a live performance, but here's a two-minute ad break. So,
by the way, we have a product to promote here on the Christmas Noodle Podcast. No, we don't.
Yeah. If only.
Yeah.
So that was
your crispy noodle pajamas right now for the low price.
I'd buy them.
$29.99. two day shipping.
That's not. Oh wow, 2 day shipping.
Yeah.
Are you going to personally deliver them, Rich?
I might have to
because I don't know how we're going to pull off 2 day shipping. We're a small operation.
Yeah.
We're not Amazon over here.
Yes.
Free 2 day shipping. Jeez, you don't make people promises we can't keep.
You promised us in 2 days. Where's your Christmas spirit? Sorry.
No, that's all right. But Christmas Story Live, it was fun. I can definitely see why people like it. I can definitely see why it was nominated for Tony Awards. It was a well put together show. The music just didn't do it for me. Like, I didn't find any of the songs very catchy. I wasn't, you know, tapping my toes or bobbing my head.
They didn't have a song about Fragile?
It did have, I think it did Regina have a song
like,
about
Regina. Everyone loves Regina.
Not quite like that.
Oh, okay, that was my song.
That's your song.
That's
yeah.
what I'm going with.
But that's one of the things I did like is it would take like a memorable line from the movie and it would turn it into a whole song. And I think they did one about Fragile. They did a few others, and now I can't remember any of them. It was like a millennia ago. It just happened like 3 days ago that I watched it. but everything's a blur right now. But it was all right. Go check it out if you're getting tired of watching A Christmas Story, you know, 100 times
what?
In a row. I don't know. People out there, they
who would
they
get
don't like
tired
it.
Of watching A Christmas Story?
They're crazy. I don't know. I love
There's
that movie.
Two separate channels devoted to 24 hours of A Christmas Story. How do you not?
There's a second one now?
Yes.
Wow.
TNT and TBS both do it now.
So wow. Eventually, it's just going to be every TV station just as, showing Christmas Story.
As it should be.
I love that movie.
Unless you're doing Die Hard. I think it's the only exception. Maybe.
They should have a channel where they alternate Die Hard and A Christmas Story.
That would
and,
be
like,
awesome.
All the kids gather, and it's like, what? Let's watch the movie. They turn it on. It's like, yippee-ki-yay. Oh, my God, no. And they turn it off. No,
yeah, I think that's a great idea.
Somebody should do that.
The best Christmas movie, as far as I'm concerned.
One of the best, yeah.
Yes.
I mean, Christmas Story is my person.
Yes.
Yeah.
If you want
Muppets Christmas Carol?
Ooh.
We're Marley and Marley. Woo!
I mean, it's fun. It's fun. And but
fun?
But...
That's it?
Yeah, I mean, I have to put Die Hard over that. I love Die Hard.
What's your favorite Christmas Carol? Everybody, you got to watch Christmas Carol. What's your favorite Christmas Carol? There's a lot of different versions.
Scrooged.
Scrooged.
I love.
I'll allow it.
I love Bill Murray.
I'll allow it. It's a good one, too.
Anyway.
So that's what I've been up to. Rich, what have you been up to recently during this wintry
Yeah. Well, first off, obviously Star Wars came out, but I want to save all that for the entertainment entree. So Don't worry, we'll get to that later on in the show. But for here in the Philadelphia area, we got snow again. It's been crazy here. We keep getting these like random patches of snow, and it always seems to hit like during rush hour. And it's
Oh my God, that was it was awful.
Trying to drive around
last Friday. Yeah. I it only takes me 15 minutes to get to work. It took me 45 minutes to get home.
Yeah.
It was terrible.
It was one of the few instances that I was actually like trying to stay at work for as long as I possibly could to wait for the snow to tamper off.
Putting in some extra time, getting that overtime. You don't get overtime.
No, I don't get it. No. But yeah, I was just like trying to stay as long as you could until the snow tapered off and the crews could you know clear off the road.
Yeah, because during rush hour they don't do plowing because there's too many cars.
Right, and, the cars are actually blocking the snow.
It's true, and so you know it's like going up and down 309. It took me forever. It was just bumper to bumper. My car has a thing where you can see like the digital speedometer, so you know exactly how fast you're going. I was doing 4 miles an hour.
Fun.
Yeah, it took me 5 minutes to get past one Wawa. Like it was bad.
Pull over to the Wawa. We need supplies.
No, it was the parking lot was actually empty because I think people realized if I go in there, I am never coming out of that parking lot.
Yeah,
because traffic was bumper to bumper, just the entire road.
It sounds like a really weird version of the Oregon Trail, but it's like the Pennsylvania
the
Pennsylvania snow trail.
It's the 6 mile stretch of 309 in southeastern Pennsylvania.
Do you attempt to ford across to the Wawa? there's consequences.
You could die of dysentery, man. It took me forever. It's so long to get home. I thought I was gonna die. But yeah, it was wild. So you avoided it by seeing Star Wars, I guess.
Well, yeah, that was
oh, that was another day.
Yeah, that was another day.
Okay,
but yeah, in the meantime, yeah, it was definitely dangerous transversing through the Pennsylvania trail here. do you choose to stop in a Wawa?
It's like that's like the trading post where you have to trade for like extra axles and oxen. Could you imagine going to Wawa? I'll take two oxen, please. And like, sir, get the hell out of here. You're drunk.
Press A for two shovels. Press B for sizzlies.
Oh man, they should do an updated version of the Oregon Trail. I don't know what they would do, but that should be in
press
there.
Press C for coffee.
There you go.
That's
you
everyone.
Just keep mashing
everyone
C.
Everyone's just mashing C. You have to buy like 200 quantities of coffee.
You have too much coffee.
Nonsense. There's no such thing.
Rich died of dysentery.
There you go. All here on the Pennsylvania Snow Trail. Coming soon. Pennsylvania. Coming soon to PC and PlayStation 4.
I love it.
Yes. There you go. The new Christmas treat. It'll be great.
I would play that game. I would play the crap out of that game.
I would too. But you know what? We do have to get to games that actually matter in the world of sports. So it's time for our first segment, the Sports Sampler.
So you're not good at sports. It's a very small part of life.
Sports.
In your face.
Sports coming at you in your face here real quick in the Sports Sampler. And I guess we got an early Christmas present with this win here by the Eagles. They defeated the Giants 34-29 in a close game.
Yeah, this was a really close game. This was Nick Foles' first game starting in place of the injured Carson Wentz. A lot of people had questions going into this game. A lot of people were worried. The Giants always give us trouble. We only beat them by 3 points the last time. So there's a lot riding on this game. We ended up edging it out past the Giants in the end. But it was a tough one there for a while. It was looking shaky.
Yeah, especially that first half.
Oh, yeah. The first half, I'm looking at it now. You know, the Giants at one point, it was 21-7, according to my box score.
They were up by two touchdowns.
Yeah. So, Rich, what are some of the big takeaways from this big win? What did you think of Nick Foles' first start?
Well, Foles actually was the bright spot. 4 passing touchdowns, no turnovers.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what you want. That's exactly what you want out of your backup quarterback, to step in, manage the game, don't make any dumb mistakes, any costly turnovers. I don't understand how anybody would question Foles' ability to lead the team.
Yeah, Foles, I think,
did what he had to do.
He did a great job stepping up. You know, he showed that he is and this is what we said on last week's podcast, he is a capable backup. He is a competent quarterback. He knows what he's doing. He has great supporting cast around him. Getting Aguilar and Ertz involved, each of them having a touchdown and multiple receptions. So Carson Wentz, Nick Foles did a great job. I do wish. didn't have a lot of passing yards, a lot of short drives. But that's part of football. Yeah. You know, you got to capitalize on those attempts, and Foles capitalized on those attempts. That's the bottom line. The one thing that did give me a pause for concern, though, was the Eagles' pass defense. We got to talk about this. Eli Manning drops back to throw 57 times and racks up 430 passing yards and 3 touchdowns against this defensive backfield. Rich, is this something that we have to be worried about heading into the playoff stretch?
Yes. This pass defense needs to step it up. It's particularly Ronald Darby. I was really surprised how much the Giants were targeting him.
He really struggled.
Yeah,
really struggled.
So they need to work on better coverages, because that'll be exploited in the playoffs.
We allowed 55% third down efficiency against the Giants.
Yeah, that'll kill you.
That is way too high. If they're converting more than half of their third downs, that shows that they're extending drives. They're creating these long drives, and when that happens, the defense gets tired. You know, we have a very fast, very aggressive defense. The way Jim Schwartz runs that defense, they're constantly attacking those four linemen. They're constantly attacking the cornerbacks. It's a very tough defense, but it also wears them out when they have to go really long drives. So the fact that they could not stop this team on third down probably helped snowball or amplify the deficiencies that they had.
Right. And especially that first half where the Eagles offense was going 3 and out. It wasn't a good situation to start off.
Now, that being said, we only allowed 50% red zone efficiency and 50% goal to go efficiency. So we tightened things up down in the red zone, but I don't think we were nearly good enough. We didn't look like the defense from previous weeks. The one unit that really impressed me, though, special teams.
Yeah.
Blocked an extra point, a punt, and a field goal, I think.
Yeah, that punt block was the turning point in the game.
Yep.
It completely swung the momentum. So, I mean, it's good to have that ability in your pocket.
Yeah, I mean, especially with close games like this, you have to be able to play on all sides of the ball. And people think that means offense and defense. It also means special teams. A lot of times that special teams
Ask the
can
Chargers.
Be the difference. Exactly. Well, I think the Chargers have other issues, but whatever. Yeah. you need to be good on in all aspects of the game. So the special teams definitely picked it up as the defense was struggling. I don't know. What else is there to take away from this game?
The Eagles clinch a bye week in the playoffs.
Yes,
that is
huge.
Yes, they
did. That is big. And
that is major.
The future for the Eagles is all it's all in their hands. All we need to do is win one more to clinch the number one overall seed.
Right. So either the Raiders, the Christmas matchup with the Raiders, or the divisional matchup versus the Cowboys.
Yeah. How important do you think having that home field advantage through the entire playoffs would be for the Eagles?
Very important, because I think the Vikings right now are looking pretty good. Case Keenum, just as everybody predicted,
yep.
is the NFC MVP, I think. He's just crazy. He's lighting it up. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, he is playing scary good right now. I think
which coupled that with a strong defense, I don't know how you're going to walk into Minnesota and defeat them.
One of the things that the Giants players said after the game is that there were so many Eagles fans there. It was like it was like playing an away game.
I did see that article, yeah.
And I don't think people realize how big of a benefit that is for the Eagles. You know, they did the same thing where they played in L.A. twice this year, and we won both games in L.A. They did it again against the Giants, and they won a close game against the Giants at their home stadium. So having the crowd on our side is, you know, we're really good at home. Away, not so much. So having that home field advantage all through the playoffs, I think is crucial, because it's directly influenced the outcome of several games this year already.
Yes.
And we have seen that when the crowd is on the Eagles' side, they play better, even at away games. So
yeah,
I think
it would be huge if they can clinch that.
Yeah.
But let's take a step back. They clinched a bye week. That is huge, because that just you automatically move to the divisional round.
Right. You don't want to play those wild card teams coming in hot.
Right.
That's always super dangerous, I think.
Right. So good news for the Eagles this past weekend. But now we look forward to the future, so it's time for our weekly segment where we give you four games that we think you should keep an eye out for. It's time for our fantastic four picks. Week number 16 coming up, Christmas weekend. Most of the games is Christmas Eve, with the exception of the Eagles on Christmas night.
Right, and one of those games on Christmas Eve that I know everybody's going to be tuning into. This is one of the biggest games of the season. I cannot wait to watch this one. Of course, I'm talking about the Cleveland Browns traveling to Chicago to play against the Bears. The two teams have a combined 4-24 record. Rich, in this ineptitude watch, who's going to win? The Browns, of course, are playing for an 0-16 parade.
Yes.
The Bears are playing for, I don't know. They don't have an 0-16 parade to play for. So what are the Bears playing for? And can they knock off the Browns? Or will the Browns get a Christmas miracle?
I really don't want the Browns to get a Christmas miracle. I want them to go 0-16 so they get the parade and they join the Detroit Lions as teams to go 0-16. But I have a feeling that if there's a win that they're going to pull out, it's going to be this one. Like you said, the Bears don't have anything to play for.
There's no reason for them to even show up to the game. It's like they're not playing for the top pick. They're not playing for a playoff spot. They should just stay at home.
Right. And, you know, this season's a wash for them. I mean, other than the fact that they have a rookie quarterback that they're trying to gain confidence with, there's really nothing going for Chicago. So I'm actually a little bit worried that Cleveland Browns are going to pull this one off. By the way, the last time they won was last year at Christmas.
And also, they've already beat the Bears once this year in the preseason.
Yeah, preseason.
25 to, well, I'm just saying.
I mean, it's preseason.
But anyway, your point still stands. The Browns' last game is against the Steelers. They're definitely not beating the Steelers.
Unless the Steelers rest all their players.
Which I don't see the Steelers doing, just because they're the Steelers. So if the Browns are going to get a win, it's going to be this game. But I'm holding out hope. I'm holding out hope that the Bears' eighth-ranked defense can hold off the Browns' electric offense. I really want to see the Browns go 0-16. So I'm going to pick the Browns, because always do the opposite of what I want them.
Okay. It's the opposite bowl.
It's the opposite bowl. No, I'm going to pick the Bears just because, I mean, come on. is the Browns.
I don't know. All right, we'll see.
Did you pick the Browns or the Bears?
I did. I'm worried. I'm worried the Browns are actually
picking the Browns. Nah, it's gonna be the Bears. Don't worry. Okay. Don't worry, Rich. I am near prophetic with my football picks. All
right.
I have only picked like a handful correct all year. So,
as I referenced in the song.
Yes,
earlier.
Of course. It was a fun song, yeah. By the way. Next up, this is actually a good game, one that will have certain playoff implications. It is time for the Atlanta Falcons to travel to division rival the New Orleans Saints on Christmas Eve. Rich, both these teams are playing really well right now. The Saints in particular have the best offense in the league. Who's winning this one?
Yeah, both of these teams are good, and I expect both of these teams to make the playoffs, actually. So they might have a chance for another matchup in the playoffs. But for this one, I'm going to go with New Orleans at home. Their defense is pretty consistent, and they have the top two running backs just in a massive 1-2 gut punch every week. Mark Ingram,
Kamara.
Kamara, yeah, thank you. I was mixing his name, Alvin Kamara. Alvara. But yeah, you got it. Kamara and Mark Ingram. There's a 1-2 punch that just hurts all opposing defenses. And then on top of that, if that doesn't work, they have Drew Brees. It's almost unfair.
Yeah, you know what? In this game, you look at their previous matchup, which was only a few weeks ago, December 7th, the Falcons won 20-17, but that was at home. And they barely won at home. So now that they're playing away at Saints, with Kamara fully healthy, because I think Kamara was kind of banged up there for a little bit.
Yeah, slight concussion.
So it's going to be so tough for the Falcons to beat the Saints, especially with so much at stake for the Saints. If they lose this game, I think they're tied with the Falcons. If they win, though, they pull ahead, further ahead of their division rival. So I'm going with the Saints on this one. I see it as a must-win for them. Next up, we have another fight for the playoffs. The Seattle Seahawks are traveling to Dallas to face off against the Dallas Cowboys. Both these teams have actually come under hard times recently. Both of their playoff stakes are in jeopardy. So,
it
Rich,
is.
2-8-6 teams fighting for survival in the toughest the NFC has ever been in my lifetime. Rich.
Their playoff hopes have been hurt, but Seattle is far worse. They just gave up 4 touchdowns to Todd Gurley and just showed everybody that their defense is done. They're toast.
I wonder if Ezekiel Elliott will be anxious to get back on the field.
It's bad. Seattle's done. I don't think they make the playoffs. That loss to the Rams last week just killed them.
Well, what did we say? We said, you know, cockiness sometimes goes too far.
Yep. So
swagger becomes cockiness and they get ahead of themselves. I agree. I think the Seahawks are a little overrated. I think the 8-6 record is indicative of that. I think that the Cowboys they're getting Zeke back this week, aren't they?
Yep.
He's going to be anxious to prove the NFL wrong.
Yep.
And he's going to see what Todd Gurley did, and he's just going to tear the Seahawks a new one. I don't like the Seahawks. I hate the Cowboys, but I dislike the Seahawks as well. So if this game could end in a scenario in which both teams lose, that'd be great.
That's not happening, but unless you're talking about a tie.
Well, God forbid. but barring that, I think the Cowboys are probably going to beat the Seahawks here.
I think so too.
Not to say that the Cowboys are going to finish the year anything better than 9-7 because we're going to win, right?
That's week 17. Hold off.
We'll see about that. But I think the Cowboys got this one for the time being. And finally, on Christmas Day, it's a primetime game. The Raiders are traveling to Philly to face off against the Eagles. A few years ago, Nick Foles put up 7 touchdowns on the Raiders. Can he break the record and throw for 8? Rich.
Yes. 9 touchdowns.
Nine.
9 touchdowns.
You heard it here first. 9 touchdowns for Nick Foles.
B.D. Foles. Yep.
There you go.
He's going to have 9 touchdowns. No, in all seriousness, Eagles should still win this game. The Raiders are out of playoff contention. Their season just hasn't gone the way that they thought it was going to this year. Beast mode has been more like least mode.
Oh.
Yeah.
sold it, Rich.
Yeah. Eagles should be able to win this one, especially at home. They should be nice and comfy for a Christmas victory. So I'm going to go with Eagles at home.
Yeah, a lackluster team from California coming to cold Philadelphia to play in the middle of the night, in the middle of a rowdy crowd. with a team pushing for the number one seed. The Eagles, their fate is in their hands. This is a very, very winnable game. The Raiders are struggling this year. There's no doubt about it. More than that, though, Jim Schwartz acknowledged that the defense struggled against the Giants. You can bet he's coming up with a rock-solid game plan for the Raiders. He's not going to let the Eagles' defense have another showing like they just had. I'm expecting them to be better this week. I'm expecting them to beat the Raiders and to get that number one seed. I'm going Eagles all the way.
All right, there you
go. Fly, Eagles, fly.
There you go. That's our fantastic four picks for week number 16, Christmas weekend of the NFL season. Yeah, I find it funny that like these games landed on Christmas. You know, it's kind of cool. You get the day off. You get to watch all the nonsense happening. Eagles will play Christmas night, Monday Night Football. I'm looking forward to it.
If they want to be a great Christmas present.
Yes, that would be that would be nice. Clinch home field advantage for the NFC. Yeah, that would be nice. Can we unwrap that present?
And then after that, a Super Bowl.
All right, hold on. Let's not get ahead of ourselves here. But clinching the number one seed is definitely doable.
Yeah.
So let's hope we get that Christmas present on Monday Night Football. But for now, that will end the sports sampler. However, don't go anywhere because coming up next, we got the entertainment entree and then some odd news as well and some Christmas topics as well. It's the Christmas episode of the Christmas Noodle Podcast. We'll be right back.
Hey, what do you hear? What do you say? This is Vic DiBattista, and you are listening to the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
Meals on Wheels of Salem County is participating in the 2017 Share the Love campaign. For the 10th year running, the Meals on Wheels Network is participating in the Subaru Share the Love event. In the past 9 years, Subaru of America has donated over $12 million to Meals on Wheels. That's the equivalent of more than 1.7 million meals to seniors across the country.
Why does Subaru support Meals on Wheels? Because too many seniors are struggling to stay independent and healthy. 10 million seniors in America face the threat of hunger, and millions more live alone in isolation. This is why Meals on Wheels of Salem County provides the nutritious meals, friendly visits, and safety checks to the seniors of Salem County, New Jersey. This vital support keeps seniors in their own homes where they want to be.
Here's how it works. Now, through January 2nd, 2018, for every new Subaru vehicle leased or sold, Subaru will donate $250 to the customer's choice of participating charities. Meals on Wheels America is one of four national participating charities and has been since the inception of the event. Through this campaign, as a member of Meals on Wheels America, Meals on Wheels of Salem County will also receive a share of the revenue earned in New Jersey.
To learn more, visit their website, www.scmealsonwheels.org. That's www.scmealsonwheels.org.
The Crispy Noodle, always crunching.
I got to get the Crispy Noodle Podcast. I got to get the Crispy Noodle Podcast. Oh, my God. I got to hit the Crispy Noodle Podcast. They said podcast.
Oh, yeah, we are back here on the Crispy Noodle Podcast. We are done the sports sampler. We are moving forward here on this Christmas episode. I love the Christmas episode because we get to pull out some of these wonderful beds that we only use during Christmas.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun.
Yes.
I like it.
Adds a new twist here on the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
It does.
Yes. But we still do keep a couple of things on the regular. And one of them is the second part of the show where we go over some movie, TV, video game, and other news of that nature. It's time for the entertainment entree.
And now, the latest in movies.
The Simpson guy writes to movies. Dear Die Hard, you rock. especially when that guy was on the roof.
Music.
I know what that is. That's music.
Video games.
I'm Commander Shepard, and this is my favorite store on the Citadel.
Celebrities.
You really know Warren Beatty?
Yes, I do. I took a leak next to him once at the Golden Globes.
And more.
You were the all-singing, all-dancing crap of the world.
This is the Entertainment Entree.
Yes, and we are going to go into a unique portion of the Entertainment Entree, because I have something that I think blends everything together for this appropriate week of the Christmas episode of the podcast. Mike, yep, bear with me here for a second.
This is a curveball.
Yes. So one of my favorite bands that I've discovered in this past year is a band called Ghost.
Right.
And they're Swedish death metal... Satan influenced rock band from Sweden,
right? Of course,
yes,
known well for dedicated. Their cheerful music,
right? And apparently in honor of the Christmas and holiday season, someone has come up with a parody. Instead of a song, the original song is called Year Zero. Instead of Hail Satan, it's Hail Santa. Would you like to hear the Ghost Christmas song?
Yes. That's okay. So hands down, the best refrain I've ever heard in all of musical history. All hail Santa. Ho, ho, ho.
Ho, 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 ho. Yes.
Oh, my God.
So if I can convince anybody to turn to Ghost right now, there you go. This is
wow.
It. Hail Santa.
That's a thing of beauty. That's the best refrain ever. All hail Santa.
Ho, 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 ho.
Oh, my God.
Yes.
That's such a great genre mashup, too.
Yes.
Like, now, why don't they play that on B101?
Yeah. Where's
like,
my ghost?
All I want for Christmas.
Shut up. It's time for Hail Santa. Go
last
away.
Last Christmas. All Hail Santa.
Oh, oh, oh,
oh, man.
Yeah.
I can see that catching on with the B101 crowd.
Yeah, come on, man. It's fun. What more do you want from me? This is a legit Christmas metal
song.
I love
it.
Yes.
Beautiful.
Yes, this needs to be on all the radios, all the radio stations right now.
Every single one,
24/7.
All of them.
All of them, as far as I'm concerned.
Not just the rock stations or the Christmas stations, but even the talk radio stations.
Yes.
Sports radio, just all the radio stations.
That's right, as far as I'm concerned. I don't know about you. But there you go. I saw that parody came up on my feed, and I had to share it with everybody.
Who did that parody?
They call themselves the Wagoner Brothers.
Okay.
And oh my gosh, just
that was a good parody.
Yes.
Yeah.
The best parody, as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah. My parodies don't hold a candle to that one. Well, first off, they know how to play music.
Yeah, yeah. We actually don't know how to play music.
Kind of a detriment when you're restricted to the YouTube karaoke videos.
But we still do.
Yeah.
But
we do our best.
Nevertheless.
We just don't have any heavy metal.
Hail Santa.
Hail Santa.
I loved every minute of it.
Perfect.
All right. Well, you know what else? Here's something else I love every minute of. It's time for the segment where Mike lets you know what's coming up this weekend in movies, TV, and video games and stuff like that. It's time for Mike's This Week in Entertainment.
She's not a Christian!
All right. Well, moving away from that subject, what do you have for us, Mike?
First up, in theaters, we have a remake, or I don't know what you want to call it, an update to a classic movie. Jumanji, Welcome to the Jungle, is the modern update to a classic film. The Rock, Karen Gillan, Kevin Hart, and Jack Black star in this action comedy about 4 teens who discover an old video game console and are thrown into the game's jungle setting, becoming the adult characters they choose in the video game. It's gotten some okay reviews so far. It's got a 79% on Rotten Tomatoes, and that's a 6 out of 10 average rating from 73 critics. But it still looks like a fun, family-friendly movie to see over the holidays. The Rock is always fun. Jack Black is always a funny guy. Kevin Hart, you know, if you like any of these people, it's probably going to be a good one to go check out. So go check out Jumanji, Welcome to the Jungle. Rich, before I move on to the next movie, I just want to get your opinion. What do you think about this remake? Are you going to go see it, not going to see it?
Yeah.
Are you going to see it or skip it?
I think it's a bad timing. Like, it had to come out Christmas weekend. Like, yeah. I feel like the movie theaters, the movie companies purposely shelved it for Christmas.
Really? You think they're sending it to
a little bit? Because, I mean, it was going to get hated on anyway for being a sequel to Jumanji. So.
Probably. Well, still,
we'll see.
It doesn't seem terrible. So if you're looking for, there's nothing else to see, go check out Welcome to the Jungle. Jumanji, Welcome to the Jungle. Right, exactly. But you know what? On the opposite side of the spectrum, we have this one, a very serious movie. The Post is an intense drama thriller in the same vein as Spotlight, about a female newspaper publisher and a tough editor who joined together to bring to light a government cover-up that spanned 4 U.S. presidents. The movie stars Meryl Streep, Tom Hanks, Sarah Paulson, Bob Odenkirk, and Alison Brie, another star-studded cast. However, this movie already has an 84% on Rotten Tomatoes for an 8 out of 10 average rating, and that's from 82 critics. It's trending right now to be one of those fall dramas that, yeah, you know, could push into the Oscar spotlight.
I think that's what this is.
You know, the Oscars love movies like this, yep, based on historical events. He's got Tom Hanks, a very likable actor. Meryl Streep, a perennial Oscar nominee. So if you want to get on the leading track to go see some Oscar-nominated movies, this one might be one of them. That's The Post opening this week in theaters. Next up in television, we have something that I know you're looking forward to, Rich. On Netflix, Peaky Blinders Season 4 is premiering this week. Already 4 seasons. I haven't really been paying attention to the show, but 4 seasons is a lot for a next Netflix show, Rich.
Oh, yeah.
What do you think about this show? Give us the lowdown.
I love this series. If you're a fan of mafia dramas, you need to watch this series. It actually started out as a BBC series, and then Netflix picked it up. And the main character is Cillian Murphy playing Thomas Shelby, who leads a family gang in Birmingham, England. And it's just the acting is stellar in it. The plot lines are great. Also, each season is only 6 episodes or so.
Oh, wow, that's pretty short.
So it almost has like an early Walking Dead quality that like anybody can die. You have no idea what's coming down the pike. If other than Cillian Murphy, anybody's on the table that could die. If his character makes a move that negatively affects the family, you bet some heads are going to roll. Like it's one of those shows. You have to be afraid of your favorite characters.
It sounds like it's very bingeable in regards to the fact that it has the shortened seasons, but also that heads will roll type mentality. You know, 6 episodes, that's, you know, you can watch 2 seasons in in the span of what you could normally watch one season of a show, of a Netflix
show. And it's just, it's top quality writing, top quality acting. Tom Hardy also makes a couple of guest appearances as Alfie Solomons, a Jewish mob leader, which is really cool. Yeah, it's kind of out of what you would expect from Tom Hardy, but he pulls it off very well.
Oh no, I wasn't expecting the Jewish mob thing.
Yeah, it's a just solid show. Lots of violence, lots of drinking. What's not to love during Christmas weekend?
Of course. Yeah. It sounds right up your alley.
Yes.
And just so people are clear, when you say mob, this is the Irish mob? What is this going on here?
It's not, I mean, English mob, but that English, makes it sound like... Not like Pip Pip Cheerio English.
Right, no.
Like...
No, there's rough and tumble English mobs, yeah.
Right.
No, I was a picture of some guy with a monocle sipping tea going, yes, good chaps.
Right, no.
Fashion his kneecaps, please.
Yes, no, nothing like that.
Okay.
This is their industrial revolution, the nose in the dirt. Like, just, yeah, it's gritty.
Cool.
Yeah, you're going to love it.
All right. You might have to check that out over the holiday season.
Highly, 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 highly recommend it. I timed that.
Wow, yeah, there's a little sing song. Rich loves it so much, he was moved to song.
Yes.
That's how you know he loves it.
There you go.
So, for everybody else out there looking for a great drama to binge during the cold winter months, go check out Peaky Blinders Season 4 on Netflix. And that wraps it up for this week in entertainment.
And also the theme, too, is Nick Cave and the Bad Seeds, Red Right Hand. Awesome.
Sound
choice.
Pretty catchy. That was
it's great.
That was the theme you were playing, right?
Yeah. Nick Cave, yeah, he's a great, great band. You should listen to them as well.
Okay.
If you enjoyed that as well. So there you go.
Well, what you played just now was pretty
TV
catchy.
TV and music recommendations all in one source. Peaky Blinders.
There you go. What doesn't this podcast have?
Yes.
It's got everything. You know what else it has, Rich? Something that I know everybody's looking forward to, especially our listeners, if they're like us. They're looking forward to hearing a little bit about Star Wars: The Last Jedi.
Oh, yeah. Everyone's been asking me the questions.
Yeah. So, for people who don't know, Rich, being a good Star Wars fan, has seen the movie twice already.
Yes.
And me, being a bad Star Wars fan, has seen it zero times already.
Yeah.
So that's going to change, though, in the next few days, hopefully. But Rich, I'm dying to know, the man himself, the resident Star Wars expert on the podcast, I'm hearing a lot of things about the movie, and it's got me wondering, how was it?
All right, this is... I've been dreading this because I don't know how I'm going to talk about this without trying to give away spoilers. I'm really going to try to stick away.
We're doing a spoiler-free review.
Yes.
Okay.
I enjoyed it very much.
Okay.
So, the main complaint... I don't think this is spoiler territory. The main complaint is that some people don't like the new direction that it went in.
Right. I'm hearing it. There's like a schism forming here.
Yeah. I respect Rian Johnson for trying to do something new, creative, fresh with the second part of this sequel trilogy. I liked that he went out on a ledge and did some things new to the saga. Obviously, there are some problems with the film. There's some misfires. But I don't think you were going to get a perfect film anyway. I think if you're walking into The Force Awakens and The Last Jedi and expecting the original trilogy, the feeling that you got watching the original trilogy, I don't know what you're thinking. Because those movies are, in my opinion, just almost like near perfect.
Right.
And there's no way the sequel trilogy is going to match up to the original trilogy in terms of that.
Right.
But I definitely respect Rian Johnson for what he did with this movie. Sure, there's some pacing problems and things like that. But I enjoyed this movie. I liked the changing of the guard in it. And I say if you're a Star Wars fan, go out and see it. I think you're going to like it. I don't understand if you're a Star Wars fan. I don't see how you're not going to like it.
Okay. And you know what I find interesting is the fact... Well, first off, very high praise for a movie coming from somebody like you. Because I know you are serious Star Wars over there.
Yes.
You are, I would put you closer to the traditionalist side of Star Wars. So for you to say that you love the changes, that's a big statement.
I don't know if you could say me tell me I'm a traditionalist.
Okay.
Because The Force Awakens, while it was all right, it didn't blow me away.
Okay.
Rogue One blew me away.
Okay.
So I think if you were one of the people that thought The Force Awakens was too much like A New Hope, I think Disney heard you and tried to do something different with The Last Jedi.
And you see, that's what confuses me here, is that people dislike The Force Awakens because it was too similar. And now you're saying this one's different, and people also dislike this one. So is there any pleasing Star Wars fans?
Right, I don't think so.
Have Star Wars fans become jaded after the prequel trilogy and that they're just not going to be happy with anything?
Right, I think there are some members of the Star Wars fan base that are just always going to crap on a new Star Wars movie. They're just going to say whatever, you know. They're always going to compare it to the original trilogy, and it's like you're not going to get the feeling that you saw watching the original trilogy in a new movie.
And that's true for anything. The first time of anything is always going to be a standout.
Right.
You know? You could say that for the Star Wars. You could say that for any major film franchise or TV series or video game or whatever, or book series. You know, the original always holds a special place in people's hearts. Now, here's the thing that I find interesting, though, that on Rotten Tomatoes, it's got 93% fresh rating from the critics, an 8.1 out of 10 average. The fans, 55%. That is an insane disparity. When you see a disparity like that, one or the other is usually wrong when you see a huge disparity like that.
And I think from that, it's that legion of the fan base that thinks that Rian Johnson went too much with the film. And just they weren't going to get pleased over no matter what. But the bottom line is, you have to go see it for yourself, and you have to make your own decision on it. But I was impressed by it. I enjoyed it. To me, I thought it was better than The Force Awakens because it went in some ways in a different direction, which is going to be curious when you watch the film, Mike, because you always told me that you love The Force Awakens.
I really love The Force Awakens.
So I
did have some issues with it trending too closely to A New Hope. But I didn't hate it for that. I didn't see that as a huge negative.
So I'm going to be interested to hear your opinion when you finally see it.
Okay. Yeah, I'm really excited to see this movie. You know, despite the backlash from fans, I still look at the critic score, and that to me at least indicates that it is a well-constructed, a well-crafted movie. You know, it's not poorly made.
I'll tell you what, there are some scenes that you're gonna go, whoa,
like, really?
Yeah, there's some jaw-dropping scenes in it.
Okay, in terms of action, in terms of drama, in terms of revelations,
action,
or all three?
Action, drama, and revelation. Yeah, I'll go with all three.
Okay,
yeah.
Wow. So, I mean, this film is really bringing a lot to the table. It's changing a lot. It's bringing a lot of jaw-dropping moments. I want to know, without getting into too many spoilers, see if you can answer this. How does it differ from the original trilogy? Is it more of a deviation of lore? Is it more of a tonal shift? Is it, like, in terms of how they focus on different characters, like, how does it deviate and from the original, and why are people
opposed to it? There's a slight reimagination of the Force.
Okay.
I'll leave it at that.
I can see where that would upset people. But if so, the Force has been reimagined though in the past.
Yeah, I think that's all I can leave it at. I don't want to give away a big event that happens.
So, please, no spoilers. But I'm just thinking just out loud here. You know, the Force has always been a thing that has, you know, after the prequel trilogy, it's been reimagined already. So. I don't see why people are so upset about that. It was changed from a mystical thing to a medical thing, you know, from it surrounds us to, no, it's a DNA marker in our blood called midichlorians. So I'm not overly concerned with them changing how we view that. The other thing is that I could say is this a deepening of the lore, I'd be on board with that. If this is like a deeper explanation of where it comes from or what it is or how we perceive it. That's, I think I'd be on board with that. I don't see how people could disagree with that.
I don't know if it would be a deepening, but there's definitely going to be
a new perspective on it.
There's definitely going to be a new future with the Force.
Okay.
Based on what happens in this movie.
See, you're saying that, and that intrigues me. That doesn't worry me.
Yeah.
It intrigues me more than worries me.
Right.
I mean, one of the things that's so exciting about things that are sci-fi and fantasy is that discovering of a new world. So I think what you love so much in the first trilogy is learning about that new world and experiencing that new world and getting lost in, you know, this fantastical setting and characters that the filmmakers have created. So I guess what I'm saying is if you can recapture that feeling of discovering things anew for the first time, that's something that would interest me.
Yeah, and I think
so. Does the film capture that essence? And maybe some people just weren't ready for that.
I think if you're open to it, I think you're going to get that sense in The Last Jedi.
Okay.
And primarily, it's going to be from the interactions between Luke and Rey.
Right.
To me, the star of the shows in this one are Mark Hamill as Luke. Daisy Ridley is Rey, and Adam Driver is Kylo Ren. Those three actors really took center stage in this movie. And if you buy them, if you buy their characters, you buy where they're coming from, I think you're going to enjoy this movie.
Okay. Yeah. So everything you've said has got me super pumped for this movie.
Yeah.
Because it's all things that, you know, I'm checking boxes over here. You know, what I'm looking for in a Star Wars movie, you know, a sense of discovery,
right.
A sense of wonder, you know.
Yeah.
These things, it sounds like you're checking all the boxes.
Right. The criticisms that I would agree with on this movie, it is a little too long. The movie's two and a half hours, like a full two hours, 30 minutes. It's
wow.
Yeah.
I mean, that is long, but is that overly long
for
Star Wars?
Yeah. Star Wars is usually 2 hours flat.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, it's usually, you know, geared to kids, you
right,
know, so
right.
Like, you know, I'd be like, Mommy, I gotta go to the bathroom.
Yeah, but, yeah, it's like, shut up, Billy.
Right, shut up. We're watching a new Star Wars.
Cross your
movie.
Legs and eat more popcorn.
Yeah. Right. So it is a tad bit long, and I do feel like there are parts in this movie that they definitely could have cut.
Okay.
There's a whole B line story that is in this that could have, if you really thought about it, it could have been cut in the editing room. And also some of the new characters that they introduced don't really seem to stick.
Okay.
Like Laura Dern's character, she was fine for what she was, but I felt like it was a little bit of a waste of potential. She could have had something bigger. As well as Benicio Del Toro's character, too. He randomly has an appearance in this movie as
okay.
well. Okay. But nevertheless, I think if you enjoy the three stars I mentioned, Luke, Rey, Kylo Ren, you're going to enjoy this movie.
Yeah, and I mean, well, specifically Rey and Kylo Ren, they were the standouts for Episode 7 for me. Absolutely love Rey. I think she's one of the best characters in Star Wars, period. I thought she did a fantastic job.
Well, she's going to continue. I think you're going to... Then you know what? I think you're going to like this movie.
Yeah. I'm really excited to see it. Everything you've said has me excited to see it. The schism in the fan base is kind of worrying me, but you put my mind at ease there with the way that you described it. People have to be open to new things.
Yeah. It's
always something that I scratch my head over, especially for sci-fi and fantasy fans. I mean, one of the hallmarks of being a sci-fi and a fantasy fan is you want to experience new things. You can't be tethered to the past because then it's always like, well, this one is different than that one. And sort of defeats the purpose, right?
Yeah, I don't understand why you'd be closed off to at least an experimentation of the new movie.
Right.
You know, especially when you had a whole bunch of people complaining that The Force Awakens was too much like A New Hope.
Right, it's too similar, now it's too different.
Yeah. You damn if you do, damn if you don't. Like,
right.
Come on, pick
is
a side here.
Do you think it's because the Star Wars fan base is so much larger now than probably when the prequels hit?
Possibly, and you're getting a whole bunch of people that grew up on the original trilogy that won't, you know, that just won't accept anything besides
and
the
this
quality
was, this
of the original
was,
trilogy.
This was sort of the problem with making the sequel trilogy, is that you have the fan base that grew up during the originals, you have the fan base like me and you that
grew up in the 90s during the special editions and right. the prequels.
Right. It was like in between. So we got, you know, the original and then we got the prequels like right on top of it. Then you have the generation who grew up in an era after the prequels where that's really their first introduction to Star Wars, period. So you have three different types of fan bases. The one pre-prequel, the one pre-prequel, the one during the shared timeline where we have both the original and the prequel, and the one post-prequel. So it's like a juggling act of trying to bring in all these fans plus new fans, and you're going to upset some people.
Yeah.
It's just impossible to please all those separate fan bases.
Right. And
But I always applaud creators that take risks.
Right, and that's what I liked about this movie. It took some risks, and I at least respect it for that. Some of them were misfires, I will say that.
No movie is perfect.
Right.
Like, the only perfect movies I can think of are, like, The Godfather and Lord of the Rings, Return of the King. And Jurassic Park. I kid.
Okay. All right, let's move on before I start being violent. Let's go.
Oh, you know you love
me. I like you, Mike. I don't like Lord of the Rings.
That was a very political answer. I like you.
I like you.
Not your movies.
Not your movies.
Okay.
Just one quick little topic here to end the entertainment entree on.
Let's do it.
This is something you wanted to bring up, and I'm kind of curious why you wanted to bring this up.
So this is something that just randomly I thought of the other day. And this one specifically goes out to my brother, John Bruno Costanzo, because I'm noticing a recent trend where Christmas lights are becoming a really big thing. Okay. Like there have always been Christmas lights. That's not the new trend I'm talking about. The new trend I'm talking about are the Christmas light displays. Everybody probably has one in the neighborhood. This is the one person that spends thousands of dollars to create animatronic displays and cover their entire house from top to bottom in lights, and they have music playing, and people drive up and they look at the Christmas lights. And my brother absolutely hates this trend. He says,
is this why he moved out to LA?
This is why he left. He's like, I can't stand it. I'm going to a place where there's no snow on the ground and where there's no lights. And to be one with Naruto.
Yeah, he just bolted on that.
Yeah.
But
he gets annoyed because he thinks that, one, lights are stupid. Like, he just thinks that they're a dumb thing to have Christmas lights.
Lights in general or Christmas lights?
Christmas lights.
Okay.
Is he
against electricity?
He's very opposed.
Yeah.
He's a traditionalist.
A-G-O-G!
He's a purist. He's like, look, my ancestors, they used campfires and torches. I want to do the same. I mean, audio proof right there.
Right.
So he hates Christmas lights in general. He thinks they're dumb. He also hates fireworks. So he's basically
anti-light.
He's one of the most sour people you'll ever meet in your life.
He's on the dark side.
You bet. So he hates Christmas lights. He hates the big displays. Specifically, there's one near our house on Butler near where 309, the entrance and exit to 309 are. And he hates it because it always backs up traffic. And
now,
there are cops directing traffic and people are parking on the side of the road to see. Now, let me get this straight. The display is incredible. Everybody should go check out the display. It's amazing.
The fact that it gets so big, you need police officers
to direct traffic. So here's my question. I want to know. JB hates lights. I love lights. What do you think, Rich? Do you like lights? Do you hate lights?
I like lights. I don't think it's a... I mean, yeah, you want to put it up, go ahead. You know, have some fun.
Where's the line?
The line?
When does it become too much?
Because
there's also one next to my aunt's house that people get frustrated with because it's a T-intersection and traffic is preventing you from getting into that development.
The line, I think, is, if you're actually blocking traffic. That's a new level. I mean, you said cops have to come out.
Yes. In Ambler, they have roadblocks, have cones, they have cops.
Your salary is going to these cops to try and direct traffic from these Christmas lights.
It's Ambler, they're not doing anything else, you know.
That is true.
I mean,
except Ambler's, for drugs.
Well, Ambler's known for lots and lots. No, I'm kidding. I have no idea. There was a murder a few years back, though, but we don't talk about that.
Shh. Anyway.
But in all seriousness, now my thing is that, like, okay, it does create a bit of a traffic jam, but traffic jams are temporary. It's like a few minutes, you get past it, and it's literally out of your mind in the next 30 seconds. So I'm willing to put up with that for the light display because I think they're legitimately really interesting, and it brings a lot of cheer and joy. Like,
right.
I remember taking my younger cousins out to see the one next to my aunt's house. And, you know, they're like two. And they're going, oh, wow, oh, wow. And it's just, it's adorable. And you can't help but see the wonder in their eyes. And I'm like, go Christmas.
You know? Go Christmas.
As everybody can tell, for these Christmas podcasts, I love Christmas. So I don't have a problem with that. But JB absolutely hates them.
No, the actual Christmas lights are absolutely okay. I don't see anything wrong with it. Now,
do you have a big display in your neighborhood?
Not a big one, but yeah, a lot of people do, you know, try and, you know, get whatever the hot new thing is.
Yeah.
Right now in our neighborhood, it seems to be the laser projections.
Oh, okay.
You know,
is
it's
that
like
a hot new thing?
Yeah, it's like you get that little tiny thing and it projects whatever light show you want onto your house.
Right.
Like all the neighbors seem to have that.
Do you have a projector?
No.
Rich.
No.
Tisk tisk.
No, I'm good. I'm not hanging stuff up. I'm good.
Okay. Well, yeah.
If I can stay on the ground, all right, I'll put something up.
Okay.
I'm not getting on a ladder and not doing that. I'm good.
Yeah, no, no.
I want my feet on the ground.
I am not a ladder person.
Yeah, I'm not a ladder person.
I am not a being off the ground type person.
Yep.
So I put Christmas lights on the bushes.
Yeah, we do too.
I don't want to go up. My dad goes up on the ladder.
There you go.
So yeah, that's yeah. I don't know. I don't understand his hatred for the Christmas lights. It just
yeah. It wouldn't be so hatred. I wouldn't say it's hatred. No.
Is there any Christmas tradition that you do hate? Is there anything that happens during the holiday season that you do hate?
Yes, when I have to listen to Mariah Carey over and over and over and over and over and over again. I hate her.
Is that the All I Want
I hate
for Christmas?
Her. It's all of her songs. I hate
all of. No. So you so are you the person that avoids?
She's a diva, and I think I honestly think if you listen to Mariah Carey, there's something wrong with you.
Wow.
Yeah, I hate to say it.
Yeah, I can't say I know any of her songs.
Like it's
is All I Want for Christmas her song.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't like that song.
There's been news reports and stories behind the scenes. She's such a diva.
She was married to Nick Cannon, wasn't
yeah.
she?
Yeah. And Nick Cannon had enough of her.
And Nick Cannon was like, I'm out.
Yeah. Right. And she had that flub at New Year's last year.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Right.
The lip syncing.
The lip syncing. Yeah. And then she refused to perform.
Yeah.
Like, I don't understand how you can support her. I think there's something wrong with you.
So do you just avoid B101?
Yes.
Like, in general?
Absolutely.
So you that's your Christmas tradition you hate is the Christmas songs on the radio.
Yeah. Oh, and I also hate how early they start.
Yeah,
I hate, and here's the thing. I said this at Thanksgiving. All right, you want a story? I said this at Thanksgiving. Why are they playing Christmas songs? It's Thanksgiving. We should respect Thanksgiving. I think that's a fair point.
I have a very strict rule that the Christmas songs don't start in my car until the drive home from Thanksgiving. That's when they start.
Right? Isn't that a reasonable point? Point?
No, I agree.
I got my one cousin called me out and said, oh, what are you, a Grinch? You're bah humbugging the songs. You're nothing but a Grinch. You're da, da, da. I'm like, whoa. I love Christmas. I love Christmas just as much as next year. But, like, does it have to start before Thanksgiving?
Right.
What's next, Halloween? Is it going to start on Halloween?
I kid you not, at the CVS near my house, Halloween ended, Christmas decorations went up in the store.
Yeah.
I was that, like, whoa.
Yeah, that bothers me.
That change
respect
was like
the holidays.
Violent and immediate.
Yeah.
But so do you not listen to Christmas songs at all then on the radio?
Not until, like, personally, not until, like, the week of Christmas.
Wow, really?
Even then, yeah. Actually, probably for me,
you're,
for something.
You're plugging in your phone and you're listening to the Ghost.
Yeah, right? I'm listening to my Hail Santa music, all right?
That makes sense. I'll give you that one.
Yeah. So, I don't know. I mean, I don't think I'm
no, I mean,
a Grinch.
The thing about Christmas is that everybody has to, and the holidays in general, is everybody has to celebrate in the way that makes sense to them and do the things that they like to do.
Yeah.
You know, it's all about bringing cheer and joy. And if you have cheer and joy listening to Hail Santa.
Yes.
You know, and somebody else has cheer and joy listening to All I Want for Christmas. Somebody has one of those people has a better taste in music. I'm not going to say which one. Rich.
Thank you.
But the thing is that it brings cheer and joy to both those people. So I feel very flower childy right now. And that's all about the cheer and joy. And anything that adds more cheer and joy to the world during this time, I'm all for it.
Well, here's something that will add some cheer and joy to everybody listening to the podcast. We dug deep into the vaults of the Crispy Noodle Archives. And we found this story time that we did, what is it, a year or two ago?
I think this was from 2015 is when this debuted.
And Mike did this, and I love it. It's a riff on, what was it riff
it's
on?
It's Twas the Night Before Twas the Night Christmas. Before Christmas I wrote me. I wrote my own, Noodle. Yeah, I wrote my own version of it. I think it's Twas the Night Before the Podcast, I think I called it.
So here it is. I want to play it. In honor of this being our Christmas episode, Mike's 'Twas the Night Before the Podcast.
'Twas the night before Christmas here at the podcast. Rich and I were recording, having a blast. The mics were set on the table with care in hopes of quoting Mr. Costanzo so rare. Papers were propped against computer screens while funny videos made us split our spleens. And Rich with his soundboard, and I with my rundown, had just settled in, ready to act out as clowns. When over at the door, there arose such a clatter, we sprang from our chairs to see what was the matter. Away to the window, Rich flew like a flash. I opened the door with a great mighty bash. The air was so crisp, and we grew colder still, but our curiosity needed its fill. When what to my wandering eyes did appear? Our associate producer, with a look of fear. With a trembling finger cast toward the sky, he shouted, "That old fat man just tried to fly." And there against the cold winter sky so black was old Santa Claus sitting on his giant gray sack. Gosh darn it, oh my back, dumb children and parents. They want all this crap and I don't have insurance. To the top of the porch, don't hit the wall. Now dash away, and don't fall. Slow as a sloth and wobbly as a toddler, his sleigh rose with a heave, and he gave out a holler. His reindeer wheezed and whined as they took to the sky, and then fell back to the earth like a broken-winged fly. I looked over at Rich, and we both laughed out loud. Santa didn't like that at all, and so he started to scowl. Like silly court jesters giddy after a great sup, we never did figure out when to shut the heck up. With shocking agility, Santa leapt out of the snow. He gave a growl and a stamp. He looked ready to go. Rich looked over at me, and I shut the door tight. We didn't want old Saint Nick to start up a fight. But instead of a clamor, came a soft little knock. He called out, "There's no need to hide under that rock." With great trepidation, I unlocked the bolt. We looked up at Saint Nick and admitted our fault. He stared down at us with his giant soft eyes. Then he cracked a smile and said, "Don't sweat it, guys. We invited old Santa Claus into the house for a quick rest before he returned to his warehouse. We pulled up a nice chair and poured him a shot. He said, "A real drink, please. This is meant for a tot." So we sat and laughed and recounted our tales of cold Christmases past while sipping cocktails. As the end of the night quickly approached, Santa let out a whistle, calling his coach. With a hearty laugh, he bounced up into his sleigh. "Thank you, lads, for this small bit of kindness today." With a sly smile, he pointed to our sound equipment. We looked back to find a surprise stack of presents. But before we could turn back to say something more, Santa's sleigh rose like a bird and began to soar. But we heard him exclaim as he flew out of sight, "Happy Christmas to all. Enjoy the podcast tonight."
Woo! Thank you, thank you.
There you go. Mike's reading of 'Twas the Night Before the Podcast. I love that.
I like it. I had fun writing it. I had fun performing it. I was trying to do something special for the Christmas podcast.
Yeah. This is like, you know, one of the times that, you know, I let you just be in full control of the podcast. So whatever you want to do.
Good Lord. Don't give me the wheel.
Okay.
Yeah, it's fun, though.
Well, before I give Mike the wheel back, we're going to take a little bit of a break. But don't go anywhere, because coming up next, we've got some odd news. Going over some interesting stories that we had in 2017. So don't go anywhere. The Christmas episode still rolling on. We'll be right back.
This is Guardian Shield, and you are listening to the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
Hey, this is Tony Gaga. You got a podcast? You got to go to the podcast I go to. I'll get you this podcast for $2. That's the Crispy Noodle Podcast for $2.
Oh. rocking around the Krispy Tree at the Christmas special show. It's time for some special news oddities. Let's pick a good one and go. Rocking around the Krispy Tree, what Florida stores you bring. Later we'll visit Tennessee and we'll do some ad-libbing. You will get a sentimental feeling when you hear Richie screaming, hey, that guy just dropped a deuce when he walked by. Rocking around the Krispy Tree, have a crispy kind of day. Everyone dancing randomly in an odd new special way. When you hear Richie screaming, that guy in the chimney ain't your normal Santa Claus. He's rocking around the Krispy Tree, have a crispy kind of day. Everyone dancing randomly in an odd news special way.
Oh man, Mike, that was good. I kind of want that to be the odd news theme now. If Christmas could last the entire year, if only.
Yeah,
that was good.
Thank you.
Where did you come up with this stuff?
I don't know.
Well, I'll tell you where you did. You referenced two odd news stories that we did this year. We had people dropping deuces when they were walking by.
That's like once a month.
Yeah, at this rate, here on the odd
but,
news.
But we did have a lot of that this year.
And then we had a robber that was stuck in the chimney. He tried to... Yeah, it wasn't Santa Claus. It was an actual robber got stuck in the chimney.
Yeah. Yes, as everybody can tell, that story... Not story. Song was written I cannot talk right now. That song was written in honor of the non-fortune cookie odd news. Right. So I think it's time.
That's where you pulled the stories from previous odd news.
That's right. That inspiration just strikes.
Right. So it's time for, why not? Time for the odd news.
We've been talking about cool and its ramifications and how it applies to the hip scene. But maybe you could give us some examples now of the opposite of cool. Uncool. Just exactly what is uncool?
My nipples look like milk duds.
Holy shnikes.
It's time for the non-fortune cookie odd news.
It's not of this world. I don't know exactly what it is or what it's doing, but this is not human intelligence, okay? It's not human intelligence we're facing!
How you doing? Me? I'm doing great.
Mandada bastata. I don't make this stuff up.
I'll take a pound of nuts.
That's a lot of nuts! That'll be $4, baby! You want fries with that?
I've seen the celery dance across the baseball fields.
You had me at meat tornado.
No, go past this. Pass this part. In fact, never play this again.
Okay. what does that mean?
And now it's time for the non-fortune cookie odd news.
So sit back, get everything you need to get from the kitchen. Be sure and empty the bladders, go to the bathroom, because you're in for a hell of a ride.
Odd news.
All right. This is the non-fortune cookie odd news. We have a special Christmas-themed odd news for you guys lined up. But normally, Rich finds the stories and keeps them hidden for me, and all my reactions are my genuine gut reactions. Some of these stories, though, are just so perfect that we have to replay them in honor of the Christmas season. And this year, the theme is, you know, around this time, it's sometimes easy to forget what Christmas is all about, Rich. And it just leaves us wondering what the real meaning of Christmas is.
Isn't there anyone who knows what Christmas is all about?
Sure, Charlie Brown. I can tell you what Christmas is all about.
So Mike, can you tell me what Christmas is all about?
It's our job to tell you what Christmas is all about. It's about And we have it here. Sometimes, you know, Christmas, it's really about faith, Rich.
Yes.
And we have some faithful stories.
If that's what you want to call it. Yeah, we got some faithful stories.
Faithful stories lined up for everybody to remind us about the true meaning of Christmas. And I think I'm ready to just dive right into them.
Yes.
Some of the classics that we've had over the past year. First up, one that just, it gets everybody up on their feet and shouting to the heavens, Methaluya, episode 202.
Authorities in Mississippi said that they arrested a woman who was trying to smuggle meth to her incarcerated boyfriend by hiding it in a holy Bible.
Happy, happy birthday from drug dealer to you. Here's some meth. Have some fun. Meth, 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 meth.
Yep, so...
I feel like we've had a similar story to this before.
Well, if we did, it happened again. The Lee County Sheriff's Department said that 30-year-old Courtney Ford dropped off some items to deputies that said that were intended for her boyfriend, 41-year-old Stephen Jason Estes. He was in the county jail awaiting transfer to a state prison following a methamphetamine-related conviction himself.
He's convicted of having meth.
Already.
Already. And yes. Then his girlfriend gives him more meth.
Yep.
You'd think like, oh man, he's in jail for this. Maybe I shouldn't give it to him.
No.
Nope. Happy, happy birthday from drug dealer to you. Here's some meth. Have some fun. Meth, 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 meth.
Lee County Sheriff Jim Johnson told the Northeast Mississippi Daily Journal that, quote, we search every item that is brought into the jail. There was a bulge in the back cover of this Bible.
Come on, conceal it a little better than that.
Yeah. We cut it open and found a powdery substance. The sample tested positive for meth. Johnson said investigators believe Estes conspired with Ford to smuggle the meth into the jail. We know because that day he kept asking where his Bible was. That Bible's very important to him.
Yeah.
Very important.
God is an awesome God. He reigns from heaven above with wisdom, power, and love. Our God is an awesome God.
Our meth is an awesome... No, not going there.
Heaven above with wisdom, power, and love. Our God is an awesome God.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Our drug.
He's just really... Yeah, our drug is an awesome drug with... I don't know. Meth is so tasty. I don't know.
Well, all right, completely new verse there from Mike Costanzo.
Hey, man, I'm a pioneer of alternative Bible songs.
Yes,
okay?
And we're ready to go on our alternative Bible studies.
It's the type of Bible that you need to sniff to get the full experience.
I love the fact he's like running around the jail.
Where's my Bible?
I need my Bible.
Ah, where is it? I'm just addicted to God.
Yeah, this guy must be really religious.
From heaven above with wisdom, power, and love, our God is an awesome God.
Oh, man.
Well, unfortunately for Ford, she's now going to be charged with possession of a controlled substance and an attempt to introduce contraband into a correctional facility.
Oh, that's sweet. They can go to jail together.
Yeah. You know what?
This is like a romance.
No. You know what it is?
What?
God works in mysterious ways.
Our God is an awesome God. Our God is an awesome God. He reigns from God is an awesome God.
Oh, there you go. There you go. Anybody who doesn't believe in the power of God.
Yeah, there you
right
go.
There. Right there. God is bringing together criminals.
This story.
Oh, it's so touching.
That's one of the miracles. Yeah. It's right up there.
And on this day, I have brought these criminals together, you know?
Sure.
Oh, man. I love that.
Unfortunately for Estes, he was sentenced in a previous case to 40 years in jail, but 34 of it to be suspended. But now, because he has a fresh count of conspiracy to bring contraband into the correctional facility, the judge could reinstate all 34 years.
Oh, that sucks so much.
Yeah, his prison sentence might have went from 6 to 40, all because of this stunt.
Wow.
So,
I gotta say, he kind of deserves it.
Yeah, maybe think twice before you try to smuggle meth into...
If you are in jail because of something, don't continue to do it.
Yeah.
It seems obvious, but apparently people need reminders.
Apparently.
You know, like if you're a kid and you touch a hot stove, what do you not do again? Touch a hot stove. So if you're convicted of possession of meth, why would you try to bring meth into a prison? You have to be severely stupid.
Or maybe she was a missionary trying to bring a different word of God into the prison.
Our God is an awesome God. Our God is an awesome God. He reigns from heaven above.
Yeah,
that's right.
It's the mysteries.
God is working through her.
Right.
To bring drugs.
Praise
into
be.
Into prison.
Praise be. Hallelujah.
Methalula.
There you go. I like it. Methalula. Ah, Methalula. Ah, Methalula. That's our chant.
Methalula.
Methalula. Ah, Methalula.
Oh my God.
Methalula.
That's the dumbest thing I've probably ever said. Methalula.
I like it.
Oh man.
It kind of sounds like a weird like concert convention. You know?
Methapalooza.
Coming this weekend. Methapalooza. Methalulula. Get your religion and your meth at the same time. Methalulula.
You keep adding extra lulas yeah. there. Methalulula.
Yeah, I'm not quite sure what the name of it is. I'm on drugs myself.
Methalulula. Sure. There we go. We're just sound like a weird alternative religious drug concert event.
Yeah, we're still working on the name.
Methalulula. Yeah, coming in 2018.
Yeah, we'll come back on that. Wow. That was, yeah.
Praise be
to the great meth head in the sky.
Yes. And when you're praising, of course, you are praising one particular figure during this Christmas holiday, and that figure, of course, is Gluten-Free Jesus, episode 218.
This is official. Bread that is used to celebrate the Eucharist during Roman Catholic Mass, it is official. It cannot be, quote, gluten-free. Yeah, that is absolutely
okay.
No go.
Why does it have to have gluten in it?
Apparently,
it's like a thin, tasteless wafer.
Yeah, apparently,
but it has to have gluten.
It must have some form of gluten in it.
Did Jesus have gluten in him?
That's in Luke chapter 3.
Luke chapter 3.
Yes.
And Jesus said, "I am
gluten."
He wasn't very enthusiastic
I am your
Lord,
that day.
Gluten Christ.
He wasn't very enthusiastic that day. You know, it was a rough day.
Yeah, I am gluten.
Just get me that damn bread.
Yeah. His blood sugars were low. To be honest, I'm not entirely sure what gluten is. I know everything is gluten-free now. Gluten's like in everything, isn't it?
In a letter to bishops, Cardinal Robert Serra, speaking on behalf of Pope Francis in the Congregation for Divine Worship and Discipline of the Sacraments.
Oh, they need a better title.
What a job title.
Yeah. Woo!
Discipline of the Sacraments. Okay.
Jeez.
All right.
Sounds
so
serious.
He said that the bread can be low gluten.
Okay.
But there must be, quote, enough protein in the wheat to make it.
What?
Yeah, when did...
You're telling me there's real food ingredients in those things? I highly doubt that.
When did these cardinals all of a sudden, like, become scientists? Oh, there must be enough protein.
What's the nutritional value of Eucharistic wafers?
Is there a nutritional facts that come to the side
Hold
of
on.
The wafers?
I'm searching for nutritional value of Eucharist. I want to see what I can find on this.
The Cardinal says that these new rules are, quote, needed because simple bread without gluten is now sold in supermarkets. And some churches believe they can use that for the bread, which is served at Eucharist, which is supposed to be converted into the body of Christ through transubstantiation.
You're just throwing out terms that nobody has any idea what they mean. Like, we know because we went for 12 years.
But, so it's apparently, it must have gluten in it. In the same letter, it also says, though, that the bread can also be made from genetically modified organisms.
Hold on. Wait one second. They're growing these things in Petri dishes, but it's got to have gluten in it.
Yeah. No, if it's no gluten, no God. That should be the new tagline. No gluten, no God.
I love it. That's the church's slogan for 2017.
Come on.
No gluten, no God.
Pope Frank, I just invented your marketing
just
campaign.
Call him Pope Frank?
Yeah. We're Pope Frank. Yeah, Pope Frank, what's up? How you doing?
Pope Frank.
Pope Frankie. Yeah, I just came up with your tagline here.
Oh my gosh.
No gluten, no God.
It's so weird though, because I don't understand. So is Jesus genetically modified then?
I guess Jesus is allowed to be genetically modified as long as he has low gluten. Whatever the hell sense that makes. I just have no clue at this point.
I have no idea.
Our God is an awesome God. He reigns from heaven above with wisdom, power, and love.
As long as he has gluten. Our God is high gluten. He's made of GMOs. He tastes so good as long as he has gluten.
Wow. I that's great.
I don't understand this at all. How can you say yes GMO, no to gluten-free?
The Vatican. I don't know. The Vatican. I don't know. I don't know how they come up with this.
Like, they had to sit down and hash this out.
Yeah, this is an official
letter. And somebody
letter.
Was really passionate about gluten. They're like, no, I love my gluten. I don't care if it's made in a Petri dish, but I love my gluten.
It needs
to have gluten.
All right? Screw the people that are allergic
because
to it.
Otherwise, what is the biblical reason that it has to have gluten?
Right. Gluten is just the thing that was like just found out like 10 years ago.
Why can't they just make Jesus into nutritional paste? Like, why does it have to be a wafer?
Space paste?
Because didn't he say bread? Wafer ain't bread. You're already breaking the rules, right?
Well, here's something else, too, that we need to worry about, too. Because there's also a statement about wine.
Okay.
That's very important to me.
All right.
The letter also says that, quote, the wine that is used to be the blood of Christ must also be, quote, natural, quote, from the fruit of the grape, and, quote, pure and incorrupt. I've never heard of
what
a wine.
Are they talking about
being corrupt or incorrupt?
You go to a restaurant, you're like, excuse me, is this wine corrupt? And the waiter's just like, dude, it's just a red wine.
It's just wine.
It's
drink
just
it.
Wine.
It'll make you feel better.
Once you have a couple of glasses, you won't know whether it's corrupt or not. Wait, it has to be not corrupted? What does that mean?
Incorrupt. Pure and incorrupt.
How do you even check that? How do you even know? Where are they getting their wine from?
I guess they don't get it at the state store here in Pennsylvania.
You mean they're not buying like $2 bottles? Wine in a bag, wine in a box.
Look, Padre, we could save money here. Wine in a box.
That's what I mean. Like, you know that's definitely what they buy. Right? What else? Where are they getting their wine from? There's no, like, Jesus wine distillery.
Yeah,
like the Vatican has a vineyard. I've been to the Vatican. They definitely don't have a vineyard. So they're buying their wine from somebody.
The Vatican vineyard.
The Vatican vineyard, yes.
Get your wine from the Vatican vineyard. Natural from the fruit of the grape.
No jokes, though.
Pure and incorrupt. Excellent taste.
Oh, the Vatican.
you see, we need some Orson Welles in this.
Ah, the French Vatican. Champagne has always been celebrated incorrupted for its excellence.
The Vatican.
Champagne is always been celebrated for its excellence.
Yes.
That wasn't the direction I was going to take it, but it just struck me like lightning. I was like, Orson Welles should do a Vatican Vineyards. Also, the alliteration. The point I was going to make is that would make real money. Vatican Vineyards?
Yes. It sounds like God's plan.
It is God's plan.
By the way, this is all legit if you want to look this up. This is from Cardinal Robert Serra of the Vatican's Congregation for Divine Worship and Discipline of the Sacraments, which is in authority through the request of Pope Francis. So this is all legit. There's going to be gluten in your Eucharist, whether you like it or not. So
you can buy communion wafers online. I'm sorry. I totally didn't pay attention to like the last two sentences you said.
Sorry.
Because I was busy shopping for communion wafers.
Your search
what
history.
What is happening?
Your search history.
It's Kavanaugh priest altar bread.
So they already have a corner mark, the market corner on.
You can get
wafers.
A box of 50 for $7.50. You can put a price on Jesus. I'm going straight to hell.
God is an awesome God. He reigns from heaven above with wisdom, power, and love. Our God is an awesome God.
Now wait, here they have from St. Jude's shop, you get altar bread, white or wheat.
Is that gluten?
I don't know.
The key is it can't be gluten-free.
What if I search gluten-free communion wafers?
No gluten, no God. All right, that's
gluten-free
the key.
Gluten-free communion wafers. You can buy them. You get a box of 200 for $13.
It's not legit. Those are counterfeit.
They look like potato chips.
It's potato
I'm pretty sure it's just a potato chip.
Potato chip Jesus.
Potato chip Jesus. It's like some edgy 90s Jesus.
Our God is an awesome God.
That's like the Big Lebowski version of Jesus.
Oh, Jesus.
You know, oh, whatever, man.
Ooh, Amazon.
Hey, it was Prime Day.
Maybe, it was Prime Day. Energy
maybe you could
foods.
Get some deals. Some Prime Day Eucharist deals.
Okay, here we go. Energy Foods Communion Wafers, gluten-free. You can get a three-pack for $33. I'm just amazed that you can buy this stuff.
Yeah, there you go.
But
make sure there's gluten in it.
Well, yeah, this one's gluten-free, so this one isn't the real Jesus.
Right, that's fake Jesus.
Fake Jesus?
That's a fake Jesus.
We are going straight to hell. I just want to point out that this is sold by God's 411.
What? The name of the company is God's 411?
Yeah, but it's fulfilled by Amazon, so you know who...
Oh, okay. So you know who's actually doing the work.
It's actually Prime eligible. Okay. If you need... I had no idea. Like, I don't know what I thought. I guess I thought like priests just had like a never-ending supply of these things.
Just got mailed in from the
Vatican. The
Vatican
just ships them out like every week. But it makes sense that you have to buy them from somewhere. So you can just buy this stuff.
Our God is an awesome God.
Yeah, if you just want to have your own ceremony, I guess.
I'm sorry. We probably took a lot longer on that than you intended. But yeah, I'm just amazed at the fact that...
It's important. Asking the important questions here.
Exactly.
I can't believe that was an official proclamation that came from the church.
You got to cover all your bases, Rich. In this day and age, you got to cover all your bases.
No gluten.
That's
no
right.
God.
That's right. Exactly.
Very important.
You know what else you need? You need guns if you're going to praise God effectively.
Yes.
So you cannot forget your ammunition, especially when you have a wedding.
Yes.
That's why this next story is the wedding shootout, episode 222.
So let's go to Tennessee in our next odd news story here.
Yo, we're from Tennessee.
It's good to yell at people and tell them you're from Tennessee. That way you'll be safe.
Well, unfortunately, this couple wasn't safe. During a post-nuptial dispute, a Tennessee newlywed removed a 9mm pistol from beneath her dress and pulled the trigger while pointing the weapon at her new husband.
No, I'm gonna f***ing kill you, motherfucker, old style.
Boy,
I don't think he realized Until Death Do Us Part was going to come so quickly. He's like, oh, that's years from now. And she's like, nope, it's tonight. What could they have possibly gotten into an argument over that it would warrant pulling a gun out? Also, she totally brought the gun to the wedding.
What? Just in case.
Just in case. Just in case Uncle Bob goes insane.
No, I'm gonna f***ing kill you, motherfucker, old style.
You gotta put down Cousin Eddie.
Yeah.
You know?
Fast Cousin Eddie.
Yeah. Why a gun to a wedding? Why a gun to your own wedding?
It is Tennessee.
Sure. Okay. We'll accept that as an answer.
So here's the...
Where did she keep the gun? You know that part of the wedding where you, like, go in the bride's dress and you pull off that thing?
Yeah. It was the
what's it called?
God, we are not good at weddings.
No.
Yeah, what the hell?
No, because that hasn't been done at a wedding in, like, forever.
Well, yeah, the little cloth thing off the leg.
Strap. A garter?
Yeah, garter.
Garter,
yeah. You pull the garter off.
Did she
off
have the
leg.
Gun in there?
I guess so.
And you go to pull it off, it's like, bang! Uh-oh!
That'll show you.
That'll show you. Hands off! You're like, but this is part of the wedding! I don't think they really do that anymore, do they?
I don't think so. I think it got too creepy.
Yeah.
But
Well, you know... Well, I'm not going to get into it. Never mind.
Well, here's the story behind this one. Officers were summoned Friday morning to a Murfreesboro motel.
Wait, what?
Murfreesboro. That's the name of the town.
Can you spell that?
Murfreesboro. Murfreesboro.
Okay.
That's a name, man.
Wow. You know you're in Tennessee if you got a name like that.
Officers were summoned to the Murfreesboro Motel, where 25-year-old Kate Elizabeth Pritchard and her husband, 30-year-old James Jared Burton, also known as J-Rod, were squab...
That's so bad. When he totally gave himself that nickname.
Were squabbling only hours after exchanging their vows. When cops arrived at the Murfreesboro Motel at 1 in the morning, Pritchard, who was still in her wedding dress...
Oh, man.
...denied that anything was amiss. But witnesses contradicted this story. As described in the Murfreesboro Police Department report, Pritchard and her spouse were engaged in an alcohol-fueled argument outside the motel. During the quarrel, cops alleged Pritchard pulled out a handgun from her wedding dress, pointed it at Burton's head, and pulled the trigger. But
wow! She was going for a kill shot!
No, I'm gonna f***ing kill you, motherfucker, old style!
Hold on. She wasn't trying to injure him or scare him off. She was trying to straight up murder this dude.
No, I'm gonna f***ing kill you, motherfucker, old style!
You said pointed at his head, right?
Yeah.
Oh my God, they just got married. That means at some point they had to have felt something for each other, right? It's,
you know, love is a very strange thing.
Love is complicated. Love makes you do crazy things.
Yeah.
Like murder your husband.
But the gun did not discharge since it was unloaded at the time.
Wait, hold on. What's the point of bringing the gun to the wedding in the first place then? It's not even the what was.
I don't know, Mike. I have no idea. This story. Does
I'm not.
Make
any
I'm
sense. Not condoning violence or murder. I'm not saying that you should bring guns to weddings. But if you do bring a gun, what is the point of owning a gun and bringing it to a wedding if you don't even have the bullets in it? That's like you buy a car and you're like, I'm never filling this up with gas. It doesn't make any sense. It doesn't make any sense.
When she fired and it did not discharge. That's when she ran back into the motel, placed a round into the gun, and fired a shot into the air.
Wow. Jesus. So she did have the ammo with her.
Yeah, but not on her.
Not on her, okay.
Yeah, not in the gun. That's when...
Where does she keep all this stuff? Like, I got to pack for the honeymoon. You got to bring the gun, the ammunition.
It's all in the purse. Other tenants called the cops. Police arrived on the scene, and she was arrested. She's been charged with aggravated domestic assault, and she posted a $15,000 bond. So somebody got her off the hook.
Yeah, they probably used the wedding gift money.
Yeah, that's right. You got enough there.
Jeez.
How romantic. Using Aww. The wedding money.
It was a trust exercise, honey. Run, dude.
Yeah.
Run.
You need to get a divorce immediately.
We're going to have an update next week, and they're divorced.
That's probably needed.
After the divorce, they got into a fight, and she tried to shoot him again.
Let's...
That's how... Oh, man.
Yeah, I don't really
how, understand. I just don't... There's so many questions. How could you willingly enter into a nuptial union with somebody who is packing heat at your wedding?
Well, no, she wasn't packing heat. It wasn't loaded.
Okay. She had the gun and bullets in the vicinity of, like, where the wedding stuff was taking place, though.
Yeah.
Like, she was ready for something to go down.
Yeah, that also kind of begs the question, what do you expect is going to happen at the wedding? Like, yeah, an ex-boyfriend's right? going to come murder you? Like,
oh my gosh. Yeah, who are you protecting yourself from? You're surrounded by friends and family. Maybe you're not that close to your friends and family yeah. as you thought.
Some, like an old grandmom just comes out of nowhere, I object!
She's not a Christian!
You know what? That's not that far-fetched in Tennessee.
Yeah.
Grandma just comes storming down the aisle.
I object!
Just loading her shotgun. Grandma, no! Luckily, the bride has a handgun on her. Dropped Grandma like 5 pews away from the altar.
Yes. Wow.
Yeah. Boy, people
Something
just...
tells me that relationship's not going to last.
Yeah, it's already off to a rocky start. Yeah. Let's move quickly along to this next one here. Sometimes, you know, during this holiday season, it's all about love. It's really about love. And I think that this next story sums that emotion up perfectly in this story simply called The Priest Loves Nicki Minaj, episode 224.
Boy, this is two things I don't think anybody imagined would be paired together.
Okay.
So it has to do with a local pastor. You know,
okay.
Nice. That's nice. You know, got
I'm already
deal.
Gearing up for this to be bad.
Yep. You know, nice to deal with the church.
Right. Nice holy, man of holiness.
And has to do with a pop star. This pop star has done it again and set the internet on fire with another sexy shot of her booty online.
What?
Yeah. A pastor got so heated at an Instagram post from Nicki Minaj that his account posted the following as a comment, quote, I'd love to eat your booty like groceries, followed by 5 winky faces.
What?
Yeah, this somehow happened.
You want to eat it like groceries?
Yeah, I'd love to eat your booty like groceries.
That's just so generic.
And don't forget the 5 winky faces.
5 winky faces.
That's important.
I want to know if he was like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
Five's a good number.
Perfect.
That's half of the 10 commandments.
Half of the 10 commandments. Okay, sure.
Complex reports that I can't believe we're
I'm just listening to this song.
I can't
now.
Believe we're playing this damn song. Anyway, Complex reports that William Henry Dewberry III.
What a name.
Yeah.
God bless you. William Hen. What was it? William Henry.
William Henry Dewberry III.
Wow.
Who is listed on Facebook as a senior reverend at the Church of God in Christ, at the Church of God in Christ in Memphis, Tennessee.
What? The Church of God in Christ.
Yeah, not just that, any Church of God. This is the Church of God in Christ.
Everything about this person just sounds generic. It's like, I want to eat you like what? Like groceries. What type of groceries? Just groceries. What church do you belong to? The Church of God. Well,
in
yeah,
Christ.
But... Oh, in Christ.
Don't forget
Sorry.
In Christ.
There's nothing specific. The most specific thing about this person is his name.
Well, anyway, William Henry Dewberry III appears to be the man behind the comments. However, he has denied that he posted any such thing. According to Dewberry,
there's an internet trail.
According to Dewberry, he claimed that someone is impersonating him online, and he has asked that people report whoever the person is faking this account.
Okay, sure.
He went onto Facebook and typed, quote, "My saints, I need your help." What? So he's referring to his people as the saints?
Oh, boy. Okay.
They're already saints?
I guess.
Why am I going to church? I'm already a saint. Yay!
I know, right? I guess the standards have really fallen in heaven. Anybody can be a saint.
Ta-da!
Could you imagine they let people like us be saints?
We did it!
What would we be the saints of, Rich? I already know what you would be the saint of.
What?
Drinking and gambling.
Thank you.
What would I be the saint of?
The saint of Jurassic Park.
The saint of Jurassic Park. I'll take it. Yeah. I love it.
Saint of Jurassic Park. Oh, please.
Bless you.
Please. Please, Saint Michael. I want to know how my Tyrannosaurus Rex is doing.
Bless you. May Velociraptors bless your spirit.
You gotta do the new church sayings. Like, it, you know how they say, like, they don't say peace be with you. They say, like, in your spirit. And Velociraptor in your spirit.
And Tyrannosaurus Rex to you.
Yeah.
In the name of the T-Rex. And of the Velociraptor. And of the Triceratops. Triceratops 3?
Yeah, there you go. Is the trifecta.
Oh, my gosh.
There you go.
That was some Illuminati stuff right there.
Anyway.
Oh, boy. Okay.
Dewberry says on his Facebook page, quote, "My saints, I need your help. Somebody created a fake Instagram page under my name. I don't know who did this, but this needs to come down ASAP. May the Lord present somebody to report this immediately."
What? Why can't you just report it yourself?
Okay.
Because you probably can't report yourself, can you?
I did not create all of this.
Uh-huh.
According to Complex, though, if this account does not belong to Pastor William Henry Dewberry III, the person who is in control of it has serious dedication, because the account has been posting photos of Dewberry and his family since January of 2016. So, unfortunately,
either
I don't...
this person is really creepy, or this priest is just totally... Oh, he's just really reaching.
Yeah, I think he just lost his credibility.
Yeah.
I mean...
He's not as... Yeah, he's done.
Yeah, I don't think...
He's like, oh no, those darn hackers from the Reddits, they posted another porno link. Oh, darn them.
How did they do that?
Science is the devil.
Yeah.
The technology
don't pay
is the
attention.
Devil.
Don't pay attention to the Nicki Minaj song.
Yeah.
And I can eat it like groceries.
That's right.
Look at her butt. Oh my god.
Groceries.
Look at her butt.
Hallelujah.
Oh my god.
Groceries.
Look at her butt.
Hallelujah.
Look at her butt.
Look at her butt.
I just like the fact that they mention your name in that.
Yeah. Well, the song's about, you know, that part is based.
Oh yeah.
You know, on
it's about
me.
You.
Yeah. It is. Okay. Little known fact.
Okay. All right. Eiffel Tower.
That was my nickname. Because it leans to one side. Oh, my God.
Wait a minute. Does the Eiffel Tower lean? I thought that's the Leaning Tower.
Oh, no. That's the Leaning Tower. Can't even get the stupid landmarks right.
You lost.
Oh my god.
You lost the non-fortune cookie odd news form of the weakest link.
It's the Leaning Tower of Pisa. Thank you.
Yeah, that's not.
The Eiffel Tower.
The Eiffel Tower doesn't lean. Good one.
The Eiffel Tower is in Paris. Yes.
There you go.
Oh, I'm so stupid.
And we have it recorded on the podcast.
Thanks. Great. Awesome. Well, I quit. There, I try to be funny, make some self-deprecating humor. Little do I know that I'm being extra stupid. It's a nice little cherry on top.
Yeah, eat that booty like groceries, baby.
Hey, you gotta love some groceries.
Man, if that's not a Christmas pickup line, I don't know what is.
Just try it out on people holiday gift shopping. Yeah. Why not?
Also, by the way, you now know the difference between the Leaning Tower of Pisa and the Eiffel Tower now?
Yes, I do. That was one of my better flubs on the show. And I get to relive my shame here, immortalized forever in the Christmas episode.
Very good.
Yeah. But I think I can redeem myself with this next story, where I take people on a magical journey into the Instagram page of a very special church. And that church, of course, is the church that loudly proclaims Guns for Jesus, episode 238.
A Florida church has a stark warning to all who enter this church. The river at Tampa Bay Church, which broadcasts its services on social media, has decided to post a informative social media message and physical signs on the property. Are you ready for what the sign reads?
Oh, yes, I am.
It says, quote, "Welcome to the river at Tampa Bay Church. This is private property. This is not a gun-free zone. These pastors are heavily armed, and any attempt will be dealt with deadly force. We will protect our people. Love the pastors."
Wisdom, power, and love. Our God is an awesome God. Our God is an awesome God. He reigns from heaven above. With wisdom, power, and love. Our God is an awesome God.
Boy, there's nothing. Wow. There's nothing that shouts out love than we are heavily armed.
Well, you remember that passage from Mark, right? Where he says, "And God doth say, carry lots of ammunition." I want to point out though, in that message, they said, "If you attempt what?"
Yeah, it just says
just anything.
Any attempt will be dealt with deadly force.
Any attempt of what?
That's it. That's all it says.
So, you don't know. You just be sitting there like, "He attempted it!" And they just shoot you. And you're like, "What did I attempt?" "We don't know, but you attempted it."
"He attempted it. You're supposed to come to church and not attempt things."
Right.
"You're supposed to stay there. Be good little boys and girls."
That's actually terrifying.
No.
Because you don't know what you can be shot for. Any attempt at anything at all.
Yes. How dare you?
How dare you? How dare you exist?
Love the pastors.
Love the pastors. Yes. We will murder you in cold blood.
Love the pastors.
And a Merry Christmas.
Yes.
I want to hear about this church around the holidays. It's going to be great. Oh.
Associate Pastor Alan Hawes told Fox 13 Tampa that he has put up the sign at his non-denominational church. It has garnered attention when he posted it on Instagram. Which, by the way, I didn't know churches have Instagram accounts, but sure.
I guess so. Yeah, why not?
Pastor Alan Hawes also says that he has his own concealed carry weapons permit.
Oh, my gosh.
And says that he likes to show off his armed guns during his church services that include over 1,000 parishioners.
Of course he does. Of course he does. I was just thinking to myself, how funny it would be if he gave mass with like an M16 strapped to his back.
There you go. He does.
You know when they ring the bells? Instead of ringing the bells, he fires off a couple rounds. The body of Christ. the blood of Christ.
Oh my God.
This is great. I love this story. This is amazing.
The associate pastor also says that, quote, "We are church leaders that are fulfilling a biblical teaching to look after those in our care."
I think I missed a chapter in the Bible.
I think we missed we missed this lesson.
I forgot the part where Jesus grabbed his AK-47 and was like, "I'm gonna protect my flock."
Our God is an awesome God. Our God is an awesome God. He reigns from heaven above with wisdom, power, and love. Our God is an awesome God.
He reigns with wisdom, power, and guns. He's raining down hellfire on the people who don't follow him.
Another associate pastor says that, quote, I believe if you look at the teachings of Jesus, Matthew, and different places in the scriptures.
Wait, Jesus, Matthew, and other people.
Yes.
Okay. I just want to make sure that he got his sources right.
Yeah, he definitely has.
That guy, Jesus, Matthew, and those other ones.
He's got some high quality sources.
Uh-huh.
Here.
Okay.
He says that, quote, I believe if you look at the teachings of Jesus, Matthew, and different places in the scriptures, we see that the world gets increasingly darker, wars, and people with not good intentions are trying to look forward, and we are trying to make a statement.
What?
Yeah.
What was that?
I have no idea.
People with not good intentions are looking forward.
Yeah.
People with bad intentions? Maybe? Is a better way to say that?
I'm just gonna say I think the intelligence here has not reached past a third grade grammar class.
Rich, come on. Are you besmirching the good name of the pastor who brings a loaded assault rifle to church? That's nonsense. That guy is probably, he's probably got an IQ of like 400.
He didn't finish the sentence. Any attempt will be dealt with deadly force.
He doesn't need to finish that sentence because an attempt to finish that sentence would be met with deadly force. Okay? So that he is practicing what he preaches. He's the most holy of the holy.
Yes. Okay? And he's filled with love. Love the pastors.
Love and ammunition.
The pastors.
The pastors. God is an awesome God. He reigns from heaven above.
Our God is an awesome God. Yeah, so this is a real thing. If you want to check it out,
oh, man.
It's the River at Tampa Bay Church. That's the name of the church. You trying to see if it's on their page?
Yeah, I'm going to look them up real quick and see what we got here. The River at Tampa Bay Revival Ministries International, I guess that's the one. I don't know, it's the only river at Tampa Bay. Let's see. What do we got here? Watch live. Ooh.
Yeah. Oh, there you go.
I'm afraid to click on that. I don't know what's going to be happening.
They're going to show off the guns.
I want to find like a part where they're talking about like guns and stuff. Oh, that guy looks really happy.
What the hell?
This is a picture of this guy. He's just grinning from here. He's like, yeah.
Is it Pastor Alan Hawes?
I don't know. They have media. They have Revival TV, TV broadcast. They have a radio shop. They got a lot of stuff going on. I don't know if this is the right one. Is it Revival Ministries International?
I don't know. It's the news story I have says the River at Tampa Bay Church.
This is in Tampa. Is it on River International Drive?
I don't know. It just says the River at Tampa Bay Church. I don't know what they go on.
Oh, they have an Instagram. Let me see if I can see the thing on their Instagram.
There you go.
Let's see. I'm looking. I don't know. It's just pictures of people.
Boo.
Boo. We don't like seeing pictures of people. Stupid people. I don't know. I don't see it, but there's a lot of pictures on here. Like a lot of pictures. All right. Well, anyway, they're crazy. They don't deserve our time and effort. Is that bad?
Yeah, Mike, any attempt will be dealt with deadly force.
Oh, wait, I found it.
Oh, what, you found
Welcome to the River at Tampa Bay Church, right of the admission reserved. This is private property. Warning, please know that this is not a gun-free zone.
Yeah, this
we are heavily armed. Any attempt will be dealt with deadly force. Yes, we are a church, and we will protect our people. You are now entering a zone of extreme blessing.
And guns.
That's the next picture. Wow. That's amazing.
There you go.
These people are insane. This dude is wearing like a vest jacket. While preaching, those pants are really big. What is happening in these pictures? That kid's got cotton candy. I'm going on a journey here, Rich, and you can't stop me. That person's petting an elk. Man, this is a church and a half. They're playing basketball. They're at the White House.
It's just like this play-by-play going on. Yeah. I don't know.
This is insanity. This is lunacy. Like, these people, if you protect, the anointing will protect you. That sounds slightly cultish. Alrighty then.
Okay, there you go.
That's the River at Tampa Bay.
The all-gun church.
Fantastic. The all-gun church.
There you go.
They're loving it. They're having a blast.
The River at Tampa Bay Church.
Whew, man. There's some scary mofos out there.
Praise be. Praise be.
Praise be, yeah. From heaven above, with wisdom, power, and love, our God is an awesome God. And Rich, that's what Christmas is all about.
That's what Christmas is all about, Charlie Brown.
There you go. That's what it's all about, Charlie Brown.
I like it. I think we left people with some, you know, heartfelt advice and ideas of what this holiday season is truly about. You can't lose sight of that.
Or at the very least, we made you laugh your ass off because these stories actually happened in 2017. and that's what the Odd News does so well. Just brings you the most ridiculous things that actually happened. And we love to bring it to you here on the Crispy Noodle Podcast. But before we start to wrap this episode up, let's go over our Christmas lessons that we have learned on this episode.
As your body grows bigger,
your mind must flower.
It's great to learn,
because knowledge is power.
All right, Mike, what have you learned?
Well, I learned that All Hail Santa should be played on B101 instead of Last Christmas and All I Want for Christmas.
Of course.
I think that would make a good addition to the holiday classics. Especially that Mariah Carey song, because we all learn on this podcast how much you hate Mariah Carey.
Can we not? Yeah. Yeah. Don't put that one on there.
Yeah. And we also learned that you loved getting to tell people how much you hate her.
Yes. It was cathartic.
Yeah. I could tell, Rich. I could tell. Omis is cathartic, is sitting in traffic waiting to see some Christmas lights on Butler Pike. I learned that everybody loves that, especially my brother John Burnett. It's his favorite thing in the world.
He loved it so much he moved to L.A.
Yeah. that's what I learned, Rich. What Christmas lessons did you take away?
I learned that I love doing this podcast. And I can't believe another year's over. It's already 2017 just about in the books. But nevertheless, we have an amazing year to look back on when it comes to Odd News, which we did partially in this episode, and we will on next week's episode as well with our Best of Odd News podcast. So just all around, I'm feeling great on this Christmas episode of the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
Are you feeling the Christmas joy?
Yes.
I am too.
And I'm going to go listen to Hail Santa.
Perfect.
Perfect. And that's what we've learned on this week's episode of the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
What did we learn, Palmer?
I don't know, sir.
I don't know either. I guess we learned not to do it again.
Yes, sir.
I'm if I know what we did.
But before we officially close it up, we have one more song that we'd like to play for you guys. Simply called the Christmas Song Parody.
Yeah, it's a parody of the Christmas song. Not so much a parody as a chance to slow things down and really thank our fans to actually legitimately remind ourselves what the season's all about.
Soundboard showing all levels green. Talk of how the Eagles game goes. Entertainment news glowing dim on our screens. And folks in Odd News losing clothes. Everybody knows this podcast is our favorite show. We're not all there, but it's all right. As we listen, our smiles will grow and chuckle all throughout the night. We know it's all because of you. We've had so many, many good times. It's so true. And we hope you enjoy it as much as us. We don't mean to cause such a big old us. And so we're offering this silly show to fans from PA to Timbuktu. And let us just say, whoa. one last time before we go. Crispy Christmas to you.
Oh, that was good, Mike.
And I meant every word of it. Especially the fans in Timbuktu, you guys are the best. Guys in PA, you guys.
But nevertheless, I concur with everything Mike just said. But no, it very good job, Mike.
Thank you.
Once again, all those parodies coming from you. So great work.
Thank you, thank you. And you know what? None of this would be possible though without you, Rich, amazing co-host. Sitting through all this nonsense on the Christmas specials. This is the blast. This is the fifth one we've done. Do you realize we've done 15 of these Christmas parodies?
Well, you've done it.
I've done. Well, yeah, but you know, all the inspiration comes from everything we've done here on this podcast past 5 years.
Yes.
It's just always a blast.
Right. And it's definitely one of my favorite episodes to record every year. And we hope you guys have enjoyed the Christmas episode with our wacky parodies and wacky topics and our look back over some odd news. That means the Christmas episode comes to an end, and it only means we have one more episode left of the year, and that is our Best of Odd News 2017 show. We are combing through all of the stories that we did this past year, and we are going to present to you the best ones in the Best of Odd News 2017 show next week for New Year's. It's definitely one of the most laugh-out-loud shows you're going to listen to.
It's one of my favorites. We're still taking suggestions. If you guys have any fan favorites, tweet them at us.
That's right. We have at the Crispy Noodle, or shoot us a message on Facebook. And either way, we'll be sure to do your request if you happen to have one.
That's right. You can also make sure to leave comments on the website, thecrispynoodle.com, and the YouTube channel, where you can find lots of different videos, interviews, and best bits. But most importantly, remember to subscribe to the Crispy Noodle Podcast on iTunes and Stitcher. That's the only way you're going to get to hear the best of the odd news, guys.
That's right.
So make sure you guys are searching for, downloading, and subscribing to the Crispy Noodle Podcast on iTunes and Stitcher. Drop us a review and rating there. It's much appreciated during this holiday season.
Yep. We also have a SoundCloud page where we have some promos of the Crispy Noodle Podcast in the past. If you go there, check out the mini noodles, which are those best bits.
That's right. So many ways to get in touch with and share the Crispy Noodle Podcast. The perfect thing to share during the holiday season, I think.
Oh, yes, of course.
But if you want to get in touch with us individually, send us those odd news requests. You can find me on Twitter at Mikey Costanzo, MikeyCostanzo.
And I am at Rich Liebig, RichLiebig. I'm on Twitter and Instagram. Shoot us your message. If you got a favorite, let us know what you've got in mind. This has been another great episode for the Christmas season. Thank you, Mike, for all the parodies. Thank you guys at home for listening to the Crispy Noodle Podcast. 2017 has been a year to remember. And we got the Best of Odd News coming your way next week. I cannot wait to present to you the best over this past year. We've got some good ones. But for now, here at the Crispy Noodle headquarters, we wish all of you and your families a very happy, very merry, very safe, Merry Christmas, Happy Holidays, and whatever else you want to celebrate. Make sure you have fun, do what you want to do, and be with the people you love. This has been the Crispy Noodle Podcast. Let us be the Crispy Noodle in your vegetarian salad of life and boring news. I'm Rich Liebig.
I'm Michael Costanzo.
And we'll see you guys next week for that Best Odd News of 2017 show.
See you guys. A Merry Christmas to all, and to all, a good night.
Fantastic ending. We'll see you guys next week. Later!
Some of us have great stories, pretty stories that take place at lakes with boats and friends and noodle salad. A lot of people, that's their story. Good times, noodle salad.
Okay, listen up, everybody. I'm Donald Trump. You might remember me from such elections as the 2016 election. It was the biggest election, the best election, mostly because I won. Now, if you like podcasts, and I like podcasts, let me tell you about podcasts. I've listened to some podcasts in my time because I'm Donald Trump, and I listen to the best podcasts. And the best podcast I listen to is my own podcast. We're the best at the podcasting. But if I had to pick a second podcast, it would be the Crispy Noodle Podcast. It's the best podcast for 2017. Crispy Noodle Podcast, 2017.